ABC Listen.
Dearest Curly Crew, I have a confession. I am a terrible singer, and I'm so terrified of people hearing me sing that I basically never do it. But that all changed thanks to my dear friend, Molly the Songmaster Daniels. Being a part of this weird and lovely little show meant Momo finally enticed me out of my little shell and gave me the encouragement to spread my non-musical wings to soar through the podcast universe. And there was no better example of this than her fantastic episode about Oedipus, our first and only full musical episode. So at this wonderful time of year, when we think about celebrating those closest to us, let me just say, Molly, thank you. I guess I'm still getting those rusty vocal cords working. Bye.
Ah, big day. Lines are memorized, sets are built, everything is planned to perfection. Oh, I'm so excited. Vocal warm-ups.
Excuse me. Hello there.
Oh, hello, strange old woman who looks suspiciously like a witch, but probably isn't.
Care to see your future, little girl?
Oh, definitely a witch then. No, thank you. I don't really believe in that stuff. Plus, I'm very busy.
Yes, you're putting on your musical today.
How did you know that? I am. It's actually my writing, directing, theatrical debut of Oedipus, the musical. I'm also starring in it with my friends Carl and Matt, so yeah, pretty huge day.
Want to know if your musical will be a success or not?
Ow, you just grabbed my hand.
I will read your palm to tell your future.
Ooh, an unexpected tragedy.
What?
What's this? Something interesting in your fate line.
A fate line? You mean fate like the idea that the major events of our lives have already been decided for us?
Yes, interesting.
Interesting good?
Interesting bad.
Hooboy.
I'm afraid your musical is going to be a failure today. Your palm says it all.
But I prepared everything to perfection. How can you say that? She disappeared. Hello?
Hey, Molly. It's Carl. I'm at the theatre. Can you buy some more lollies for the rehearsal room? They got stolen.
Stolen? Oh, no. The prophecy is true. The musical's gonna fail.
Wait, what?
I met an old lady who read my palm and said the musical will fail, and now the lollies have been stolen.
Whoa. Palm reading? That's no way to predict the future. Besides, if someone says the musical is going to fail, we can just prove them wrong.
Can we do that?
Well, today on Short and Curly, let's find out. Can we fight fate?
Do we have any control over our lives?
And what should you do when something happens and you cannot change it?
Like a failed musical!
Hello, and today you're listening to...
Short, you're listening to Short and Curly.
And Curly.
Yay!
Short and Curly!
Curly, 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 curly.
Short and Curly!
Hey, Molly. I'm so glad you made it to the theatre. Did you bring the lollies?
No, Carl. This is all a disaster.
Okay, so you've been told this musical that you've worked so hard on is definitely going to fail.
And I'm freaking out, man. It's Short and Curly's first ever theatrical performance.
But there's no need to freak out, Molly. You're in control of your own destiny. The orchestra's tuning up. We're getting so close to showtime.
Oh, Carl, I don't know if we are in control of our own destinies. There are so many things in life that are out of our hands.
Huh, yeah, so a lot of things can go wrong.
Carl!
But why don't you listening pause the show for a second to wrestle with this thinking question?
Yeah, you can think about it or talk about it with people for as long as you like, and just come back and keep listening when you're ready.
And our question is, can you think of a time when something in your life went wrong and it wasn't something you could have stopped? What happened?
Hit pause now.
Wow, the theatre is so full. So many people have shown up. Oh, look, it's the mayor.
Deep breaths, Molly. You're going to be great.
Wait. We don't have Matt Beard. Oh, this is a disaster.
Me, 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 me. Ethics Centre.
Molly, he's right there.
Ready to go, team?
Definitely not.
What? But this is your musical, Molly. The tragic tale of Oedipus, who tried to escape his fate, but only ended up making things worse.
I think that's the problem. Molly thinks the fate of this musical is for it to fail, because some fortune teller told her so. But nobody can predict the future, right?
That's a big question, Carl. One of the biggest, actually. Let me tell you about a little idea called determinism.
Oh, great. Curtain's about to come up and we're getting a philosophy class. This musical is doomed.
Determinism is the idea that everything that happens is caused by the things that happened before it. Imagine you've set up a line of dominoes. Once you push the first one, all the others will fall down as a natural result. The past dictates the future.
I don't feel like I'm being controlled by what happened in my past. I am the master of my own destiny, and I can choose whether to smash this vase or not. See? Yeah.
Carl, that was a prop for the musical. The dominoes are falling.
Look, some people think the world is determined, in the sense that the sun will evaporate water into the sky, creating clouds, which leads to rain, and this process is predictable.
Beautiful.
But we like to think people are different from the natural world because we have free will, which lets us make choices.
Even more beautiful.
But not everyone thinks we're free.
Bummer.
Carl, you're a scientist, so I'm guessing you think the world works based on fairly predictable rules, like physics, right?
I mean, at least in the way you mentioned with the rain, yeah.
Which means that if we knew all the facts about a situation, and we understood all the rules of how the world works, we could predict what was going to happen with 100% accuracy, right?
I guess in some ways that's exactly what science is going for.
Right. So if that's true, then the whole world is totally determined. It's just that we don't understand the world enough to be able to predict everything.
So what then? Should we just give up? Should I let my musical be a disaster if the future is set?
Well, that depends. Even if determinism is true, we can only predict the future if we know all the facts and everything about how the world works. But humans don't have all the facts. I don't think your fortune teller had enough information to know for sure what's going to happen in this musical.
Okay, well, maybe we should press on with the musical. Oh, curtain is coming up. The show must go on. Positions, people!
Ladies and gentlemen, Oedipus, the musical.
Welcome, friends, to the sad tale of Oedipus, a man whose life was governed by fate. No matter how hard he tried, he could not stop tragedy from striking. Our story begins in the Greek city of Thebes, where the king and queen of Thebes have just had a baby. A beautiful boy. Soon after his birth, the king and queen summoned a prophet to hear tell of their son's future. The prophet is a blind man who cannot see the world, but can see the truths of the future, a gift he received from the gods. What does he have to say about the child? Listen to the prophet's words.
Your Majesty, Your Highness, sad tidings I must bring. your tiny little baby. He's gonna murder the king.
My baby boy, how could he murder so? To save my king, this child has to go.
To stop the prophecy from coming true, the king and queen of Thebes abandoned their baby in the woods. They thought the baby would die and never be able to kill his father. But another couple came upon him in the grass. They rescued the little one and raised him as their own. They called him Oedipus. Years later, he traveled to meet the Delphic Oracle, the greatest prophet in all of Greece, to learn about his future.
I'm the prophet of Delphi. Do you want a prophecy? I can look into your future, but you won't like what you see.
Tell me,
demanded Oedipus, his anger and frustration growing.
I don't want to make you sad, but Oedipus, if you get mad, you're gonna have a temper tantrum. You're gonna murder your own dad.
Oedipus feared he would kill the father who raised him, and so he knew he could never return home. But poor Oedipus did not know he was adopted, and that the prophet had meant he would kill his biological father. Lost and alone.
But where can I go?
Oedipus steered his chariot down the road when he came to an intersection. It was there that a most ancient form of road rage took place. An important, wealthy-looking man dressed in the finest robes believed he had right of way.
I was indicating with my right horse.
But young Oedipus disagreed.
You did no such thing.
Ha! How do you like that, then?
The man had hit Oedipus on the head with his cane. Oedipus was furious.
How dare you treat me this way?
He fought back and ended up killing the man. But here's where fate is a cruel mistress. Unbeknownst to Oedipus, the rich, rude chariot driver was actually the king of Thebes. And that meant he was Oedipus's long-lost biological father.
Oedipus had killed his dad after all!
So, what did Oedipus do next? He travelled to the great city of Thebes, where he was born. Though he did not know this.
What a strange place!
After a long journey, he entered the gates of the city. But the city was in chaos. A giant and dangerous sphinx had taken control. This strange creature had the body of a lion, the wings of an eagle, and the head of a woman.
Hello.
The only way to defeat the sphinx was to answer a riddle. Yes, a riddle. But get the answer wrong and you will die. Here's the sphinx's riddle. What has four legs in the morning, two legs at noon, and three legs in the evening? Take a moment to see if you can solve this riddle, dear listeners, and you will hear the answer soon.
Hit pause now.
Four legs in the morning, three legs in the night, and it's got two legs when the sun is nice and bright. Aha! That's it! I've got it! No need to cause a scene. The answer to your riddle is a human being.
Oedipus out!
The Sphinx turned to Oedipus and said,
"That is correct! Most humans crawl on four legs as a baby, or the morning of their lives. They walk on two legs as adults, in the middle or daytime of life. Then, as the sun sets on their lifetime, they use a walking stick, three legs."
You solved my riddle so easily. Now I'll leave from this city.
The Queen of Thebes was so pleased to be free of the Sphinx, she married Oedipus, making him king. The people thought they were an excellent match. They even looked similar. Life was going well for King Oedipus, until one day, a terrible plague struck Thebes. There was no food.
My belly aches, my body weakens, and I can hear my bones a-creaking.
Why have the gods cursed us here in Thebes? What evil done have we?
King Oedipus and his queen summoned the court prophet, the very same blind man who first said Oedipus would kill his father. The prophet bent down on one knee in front of the queen and King Oedipus.
The gods have shown the future to me. This plague will last until the man who killed our old king has been found and brought to justice.
The prophet knew something Oedipus did not. He knew that Oedipus was the man who had killed the old king, who was also Oedipus's father.
I warn you, my king, finding the killer will come at a terrible price.
Don't seek the truth, Oedipus. Let it go, just let it rest. If you follow down this road, only pain shall you know.
Save our city, my dear king. Avenge the death of my past love. I know you'll end our suffering. I'm sure you'll please the gods above.
Oedipus ignored the prophet's warnings and demanded to speak with the one person who witnessed the old king's death. A servant who was at the scene of the crime.
Hello.
When the servant saw Oedipus, he recognized him immediately.
Wait, I know you. You're that fellow who killed the king on the road.
Suddenly, Oedipus realized if the servant recognized Oedipus, then he himself must be the one who had killed the old king of Thebes. But the servant had more information that would shake Oedipus to his very core.
Well, I was one of the king's most trusted servants. In fact, after the king heard a prophecy that his baby son would one day kill him, I was ordered to kill the baby. But I couldn't bring myself to do it. Instead, I left him in the woods to die. I never knew what happened to him.
Suddenly, a second thought struck Oedipus. The prophecies, they were connected. Oedipus was hit with a terrible truth. He had killed his own father. The Delphic Oracle's prophecy was true. Oedipus was shocked, confused, and angry. Then he realized something else. If the king had been his father, that meant the queen was his long-lost mother. He had married his mum.
Oh!
Freaking out, Oedipus returned to the castle to speak with his wife/mum, whom he loved in many different ways.
I heard a prophecy when I was still young. that said a few alarming things about my baby son. I thought I left the boy to die, but turns out he's alive. He lives, he breeds, and disgustingly, it turns out I'm his wife. Cool.
My wife's my mother. That's a bummer to hear. I think my best option is to just disappear. I'm punishing myself because I feel so bad. That guy I killed some time ago was actually my dad!
Oedipus was completely distraught. In an act of guilt and madness, he did something super gross and gory. He cut out his own eyes. He spent his remaining years alone and with nothing until one day, Oedipus was killed when the rotting mast of a ship fell on his head. And so ends the story of Oedipus, the most tragic man who ever lived. Wait, Molly, what is this? Died alone? Gouged out his eyes? What happened to happily ever after? This story is terrible.
Carl, didn't you know this was how it ended?
Not really. I didn't actually finish reading the script. Why can't it end nicely?
Because it's a tragedy. Now, out of the way, it's time for my closing number. Oh, when I hit that last note, the crowd will go wild.
5, 6, 7, 8. Oedipus thought he wouldn't kill his dad. He thought he could outrun fate. But don't even try to mess-tiny with destiny, because your mum will be your hot date. Ooh, maybe us humans are powerless to the universe's master plans. And I think we'll all be a lot more at peace if we accept that everything is out of our...
So ends the tragedy of Oedipus. Thank you for coming.
No! Close the curtains! Close the curtains! Oh, I can't believe it!
I know, you totally botched that last note!
But that wasn't my fault, Carl. A bug flew into my mouth!
Oh, well, that's okay then.
What do you mean, that's okay?
Well, it wasn't your mistake, it was just bad luck.
Just bad luck? The whole show is ruined.
Yeah, but it's not your fault. It could happen to anyone.
But it happened to me. I worked so hard on this musical and it fell apart because of something I couldn't control. The world is such an unfair place.
But that's the whole point of the Oedipus story, remember, Molly? The musical that we just did.
Yeah, I do remember that.
It's easy to think that the Oedipus story is all about a bunch of terrible things people did, abandoning a baby, killing a stranger on the road. But for the ancient Greeks, the main message of Oedipus was about the power of fate, how so much of life is outside our control, and about how trying to run from our fate could often just make our worst fears come true.
But still, why would the Greeks want to teach people that they aren't in control of their lives and that they can't stop bad stuff from happening to them?
Mostly because it's true. A big part of life is learning about what things we're going to accept and what things we're going to try to fight back against, and knowing what we're able to change and what we're not. Part of what the Greeks wanted us to learn is that part of life is failing, and sometimes failing for reasons that aren't our fault.
But what should we do when that happens? Should we just cut out our eyes like Oedipus?
Definitely not. Look, when our lives go wrong, when things don't go our way, or even when we make a mistake, we shouldn't be trying to punish ourselves. We need to learn to accept the consequences of something going wrong. We need to forgive ourselves for our stuff-ups and then keep going with our lives.
But sometimes it's almost impossible to keep going, like in Oedipus's story.
I mean, yeah. Oedipus's story is especially weird and tragic and awful.
Yadoi, he accidentally killed his dad and married his mum.
Yeah, and most of our lives won't involve tragedy that's quite that extreme. But those parts of the story aren't actually the saddest ones for me. For me, the saddest part is that after Oedipus learned what had gone wrong, he never gave himself a chance to do anything good with his life. He just kind of gave up. But it's also sad because he was all alone. There was nobody to help him to keep going.
Luckily, Molly, you've got us.
Aww, you guys.
Before we get out of this theatre, why don't we have one last thinking question?
Why don't you do the honours, Carl/Oedipus?
Okay, thanks. Well, imagine if you had a friend like Oedipus, where everything that possibly could go wrong in life did go wrong. What would you do to support your friend and help them keep going when they felt like giving up?
Hit pause now.
And the big musical award for the worst final note in a musical goes to Molly Daniels.
Everything is out of out. Oh, thank you. What an honour. Oh, gosh. Okay, I'd like to thank our sound engineer, Bella Tropiano, and our series producer, Kyla Slaven. Couldn't have done it without you. Executive producer, Justine Kelly, and ABC Audio Studios manager, Kelly Reardon. Thank you. Oh, of course, our Brains Trust from Lansdowne Crescent Primary School in Tasmania, Lily, Stella, Silas, Ruby, Eleanor, Sasha, and Kelly. Thank you all for believing in my vision. Oh, and of course, my friends Carl and Matt. Thank you all so much.
ABC Listen.